The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network. I want to mention a great resource for writers, and this month's sponsor, Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories. I'll expound later in the show, but the short version is this long-awaited book about the craft of creative writing from New York Times bestselling author Steve Almond sets out to debunk the well-meaning but misguided myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and most honest work. Pick up a copy today of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, wherever you buy books, more soon. Greetings, scribes. I have got some exciting news to share. The Writer Files now has an exclusive Patreon community where subscribers will get exclusive access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and content from productivity and publishing experts each month. In the meantime, just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles. It's free to join Patreon to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something special.
Rainmaker FM.
Welcome back to The Writer Files. I'm your host, Kelton Reed, here to take you on yet another tour of the habits, habitats, and brains of renowned writers. Literary scholar, publishing consultant, and co-author of the critically acclaimed book, The Bestseller Code, Jodi Archer dropped by this week to chat with me about her journey becoming a revolution in publishing and the insecurities that all writers face. Before earning her PhD from Stanford, Ms. Archer studied English at Cambridge, worked in both journalism and TV, and became an acquisitions editor for Penguin UK Publishing. While at Stanford, Jodi taught nonfiction and memoir writing and researched both contemporary fiction and bestsellers. And upon completion of her doctoral work, she was recruited by Apple, where she was the lead in research on books. Her book, The Bestseller Code, is based on her doctoral research with Professor Matthew Jockers, an algorithm that they tested over 4 years and refined by text mining over 20,000 contemporary novels. The Guardian proclaimed that their book may revolutionize the publishing industry, in part because their algorithm was able to predict best-selling books 80% of the time based on theme, plot, character, and many other big data points. In part one of this file, Jodi and I discuss how WordNerd helped program a computer to predict bestsellers with a high degree of accuracy, why all writers of fiction should read the bestseller code, how to turn years of research into an entertaining and educational nonfiction book, and the power of deadlines for beating procrastination. If you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click subscribe to automatically see new interviews as soon as they're published. This episode of The Writer Files is brought to you by Audible. I'll have more on their special offer later in the show, but if you love audiobooks, or you've always wanted to give them a try, you can check out over 180,000 titles right now at audibletrial.com/rainmaker. And we are rolling today with a very special guest. Jodi Archer has joined The Writer Files. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to chat with me about this fantastic new book, The Bestseller Code, and a little bit about your process as a writer.
Thank you for having me. You're very welcome.
Yeah. So I am just utterly fascinated about the book. I did kind of want to, before we get into chatting about The Bestseller Code a little bit, to just kind of want to maybe do a little background, you know, for listeners who might not know your story. Maybe just kind of a little bit of your origins as, you know, I mean, I know you've done a lot of stuff. You've had kind of a background in journalism as well as publishing and you know, I mean, I think you're considered a literary scholar. So there's kind of a lot to unpack there, but maybe you could just give us kind of the Cliff's notes of kind of where you've been.
I'll try. I did my first degree in English in the UK and kind of got into writing and journalism there, and also edited some anthologies of writings and got into the editing side. And straight from university there, I went to Penguin, where I did this kind of fast tour around the publishing house in what they called a graduate trainee scheme. And so it was actually really beneficial, both from the publishing perspective and the writing perspective now, because they trained me in marketing and sales and publicity and all those different things. And I eventually settled into being an editor for Penguin. And then after a while, I just went with this kind of inner hunch that had kind of kept surfacing in me that I wanted to go and do a PhD in the US. And it had always felt like that kind of much self-indulgent kind of thing, you know, move across the world and just go and study for another 6-7 years. But I did do it. I got a scholarship at Stanford that seemed to be the sign. And I went and moved to California, and that's where I started studying for the work that's in the bestseller code about the bestseller. And I met Matt Jockers, who's my co-author. And we kind of went from there, really. After that, I moved to Apple and researched books for them, and then I went back to writing. So it's been a kind of, so far, a career that's been circling the book and engaging with the book from lots of different angles. So it's nice to settle down and just write for a while.
It's fascinating to me, yeah, that you've had all these kind of incarnations, and writing is clearly a love of yours. You're kind of the ultimate word nerd, as it were.
But that would be fair, maybe.
But did you have an aha moment when you knew you were going to be a writer?
You know, I think about this, and I think it's probably, in hindsight, something that wanted to come to me as a child, but I kind of ignored it. I was a total reading nerd as a kid, and would like pretty much hide in a cupboard with a book if it meant that I could get out of doing anything other than reading. But I was always scared of my pen and didn't think I could ever write a story as good as like a Roald Dahl or Enid Blyton or anyone I was reading, you know, as a child. And I remember actually when I was 13, I lied to my mom and said I was going out with a friend, and I actually went to see a psychic, and she really wouldn't have liked it until I was maybe 16, you know, getting involved in seeing a psychic. But there was this local psychic, and I crept in and I said, you know, will you give me a reading? She was like, sure. And the most powerful memory I had, you know, she told me two things. And one was that I would not marry this guy I was madly in love with at age 13, but I'd stay his friend. And he's still my friend, and I didn't marry him. And the other thing that she said was that, you know, I'm meant to be a writer. And at the time I wanted to be a lawyer, because I liked to argue at that time. And I thought being a writer was just a silly pipe dream, but she insisted that was my calling, and it kind of stuck with me, and I fought with it for 20 years, and then finally
it panned out. Earlier in the show, I mentioned an invaluable resource for writers. Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories based on 3 decades of writing, failing, and trying again. Author Steve Almond is a beloved professor at Harvard and Wesleyan and the acclaimed New York Times bestseller of 12 books of fiction and nonfiction. And in Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, Steve employs the radical empathy he displayed as a co-host of the Dear Sugars podcast with Cheryl Strayed, where they explored the joys and trials of storytelling to explode myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and truest work. The book includes chapters on plot, character, and chronology, but travels far beyond the earnest intentions of most craft books. It also includes writing prompts to generate new work. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Russo called it one of the best books on writing he's ever read, and also the funniest. Pick up a copy of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories, wherever you buy books, and add it to your TBR today. And just a quick aside to revisit the exclusive Writer Files Patreon community, where subscribers get access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and a lot more. I know that for serious writers, it can be more distracting than ever to cut through the noise, stay productive, and home in on what's happening in the publishing industry. Over 8 years, we've provided a looking glass into the habits of professional writers and publishing industry insiders. And as your humble host, I've decided to launch a membership-based Patreon for serious scribes to cut through the noise, swap tips and tricks, and hang out with like-minded peers. Just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles for bonus writing resources, monthly episode breakdowns, writer's happy hour, a community of your peers, ad-free episodes, and more. It's free to join to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something cool and special. Keep calm and write on. So let's talk a little bit about this fantastic new book of yours. co-authored by Matthew Jockers, The Bestseller Code. And it's, you know, I mean, the cover says what a groundbreaking algorithm can teach us about books, stories, and reading. It's entirely fascinating to me, this this work, and the subject obviously is pretty interesting, but it wasn't what I was expecting as I was reading it. I was just kind of blown away by a lot of the insights in there. It's an analysis of kind of what makes readers tick, what makes writers tick, but it's not, you know, it's not this dry kind of, you know, I was expecting the idea of big data and, you know, kind of looking at the book business and the publishing world being a little bit drier subject, but it's a really fantastic read. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. A lot of people have told me, you know, who are reading, it's just been out this week here in the US. Oh, it wasn't what I was expecting. And they haven't really clarified what the expectation was, but I'm glad with your way of putting it. I'm glad you've enjoyed writing it, reading it. It was suddenly, you know, certainly, sorry, very, very fun for us to write. And I think I found that even though, yes, we'd done a lot of research with the algorithm, and before we put pen to paper, we had completed that research and would have been able to talk about it then. As we were writing, our history as readers and writers, you know, came much more into the fore. And there's, you know, we spent lots of times around books where I haven't been working with algorithms, and I haven't been working alongside a pro text miner. And so my experience of books has been very traditional, like any editor or any, you know, lover of books or journalist or someone like yourself who obviously enjoys books. So it was nice to bring that part of me to the page as well. And I hope that's what's made it a little bit chatty. I hope the book's kind of chatty rather than dry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's entertaining. It's definitely educational. I love that literary scholar Jonathan Gottschall, who actually, I love his book, The Storytelling Animal, yes, blurbed your book and said that he was just absolutely blown away by it. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there for sure. And, you know, with your love of kind of everything literary and also now adding in the big data piece. So basically what you all created was this algorithm, right? The bestseller-ometer.
Well, that's its current nickname, yeah. Actually, I mean, my co-author Matt Jockers is the text mining expert, and so what that means is that he brought that training background in how we can make computers read in a kind of a way that approximates different aspects of how humans read or what we notice when we're reading. And together we sat and talked about, you know, how do we as human readers process style? How do we process plot? How do we process emotion in literature? And how do we look at words and the words that trigger that? And then we kind of modeled that with code. And it was fascinating to me because that whole side of literary analysis was very, very new to me. And I was kind of suspicious at first. You know, I'll admit, you know, when I came to it, like many people, I thought, well, what are computers doing in the space of novels and kind of subjective literary criticism, or even, you know, the other methods of literary critical training that I'd been involved in my, you know, PhD work. But I was interested, and I think Matt is the real deal. And so I listened, and we tried it out, and we were just kind of flabbergasted by the results. And we brought our different backgrounds together, and that's what created this really fun kind of quest that we've been on that created this book.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think all writers of fiction of a longer length should read this, and really, I mean, not necessarily to, you know, for the reasons that you talk about in the book. You know, obviously you have to have a love of writing and a love of what you're doing, but there's just so much in there. There's so many great little tidbits, great quotes, great factoids, but I mean, it is just really compelling, and kudos on the work. It's a lot of fun. I'm loving it.
Thank you.
We will be right back after a very short break. Thanks so much for listening to The Writer Files. This episode of The Writer Files is brought to you by Audible, offering over 180,000 audiobook titles to choose from. Audible seamlessly delivers the worlds of both fiction and nonfiction to your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or computer. For Rainmaker FM listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check them out. Grab your free audiobook right now by visiting audibletrial.com/rainmaker. I just hopped over there to grab Stephen King's epic novel 11/22/63 about an English teacher who goes back in time to prevent the assassination of JFK. You can download your pick or any other audiobook free by heading over to audibletrial.com/rainmaker. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/rainmaker. Brings me to the question of what could you possibly be working on now? Are you how do you follow this up? Are you working on more nonfiction, or are you turning now to fiction?
Kind of a bit of both. I think I would like to write another book of essays about books and the book world that are maybe a bit personal, but combining advice for writers, because I've been in the writing world for so long and in very, very different roles that I've kind of taken for granted some wisdoms that writers ask me, and like, oh my God, I didn't know that. Will you write about it? And so I may do another book about the book world, but I'm also working on a couple of fiction projects, and I think I'll settle into one of those probably the end of this year and into the new year.
Cool. Well, it seems like you could do just about anything, especially now with all of your wisdom, that you couldn't help but be successful. So I hope.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. People say, if you write a novel now, you're going to have to, come up with a good pen name, because the pressure is going to be on. But when I'm working on fiction, I try to kind of, I would say I try to ignore some of the insights we have. And I only mean that in the sense I don't kind of try and write by every rule or idea that comes to me from the book we've just written, but it is in the back of my mind, and I do go back and check myself and find I plot better now having written that book and think better about how to use theme. So
yeah. Well, we've had a handful of those writers mentioned. I'm thinking of Andy Weir was on this show. Author of The Martian, he was great to talk to. Stephanie Dandler, most recently, author of Sweet Bitter, came on to talk about some of her processes. So you're in good company. I appreciate you chatting with me about the book. And so I definitely will encourage listeners to seek out the bestseller code. And man, it's awesome. So moving on to your process, let's talk a little bit about your productivity, just with the different types of reading and writing you're done. If you want to go back to kind of the process of writing this book in particular, how much research were you doing? And I mean, this is years of research, right?
Yeah, for this book, I mean, it's just building the algorithm and then validating it and checking it and rebuilding. It took a lot of time, so. I spent the last 3 or 4 years at Stanford that I was doing my PhD, mostly involved in this project with Matt, and wrote a PhD thesis on the first findings of this study, which is kind of much more academic because you're writing there for a PhD committee, obviously. But my intention was always to write a trade book, because I was just really intrigued by the results that we saw, as a non-tech person, that were being shown to me, given this added tool of the computer and the patterns that it was showing me about readers and writing. So I knew I wanted to turn it into a book for the trade that other readers and writers might enjoy and learn from. And that happened, sometime after I'd graduated and we totally redid the experiment and started writing a trade book. And the research had pretty much been done by the time we started. Otherwise, so it's a long project, but the writing we did fairly quickly, actually, in about 4 months.
Wow, that's amazing. So during that process, were you then sitting down every day to write and putting in chunks, or were you doing word counts?
had this issue of being co-authors, and that's a really different experience than writing on your own. And yeah. I was writing from Colorado, and Matt's in Nebraska, and so we had pretty much daily Skype conversations, and we wrote in Google Docs together. And because we were under a tight deadline, our publisher moved our submission date forward by about 4 or 5 months, just suddenly, to hit this fall for publication. And so there's nothing like that to get the word counts there. So I think, you know, every day we would just write, but we basically had to draft each chapter in about a week, and then took 10 to 12 days to in total per chapter. So we were writing pretty quickly. But it, I think it suits me to be under that kind of pressure. It avoids procrastination.
Absolutely. I'm sure that helped. So did you find that you had a most productive time of day for your writing, or a place, like an office or a coffee shop?
Yeah, I like to think I can write in coffee shops, and I know now that if I take myself to a coffee shop to write, I don't really intend to write that day. I just intend to kind of get a few clever words down I'm pleased with, and then, you know, 4 words, and give myself a pat on the back, and then drink too much coffee and go home. So if I really want to produce, I have to be at home, and I have a study at home, and I have to start in the morning as much as I would like to avoid it. And if I get on a good speed in the morning, then I'll probably write all day through to about dinner time, and that's the way it works best for me.
Are you someone who can write with headphones on, or do you prefer silence while you're writing?
I don't like headphones. I don't like the feeling of them, I guess. But I do sometimes have classical music or any music without not too quick a beat. Because I'm kind of thinking slowly, but mm-hmm. I don't like words in music when I'm writing. So I like sort of a soft, just music without words or silence.
Yeah. I think I know the answer to this next one, because you addressed it actually in your Goodreads Q&A there. But do you believe in writer's block?
I think not. Sometimes I say yes and sometimes no, actually, so I don't know what I said in Goodreads, but I think that I've heard some really successful writers like Nora Roberts in interview and at conferences say she really doesn't believe in it. She thinks it's just, you know, an excuse. And I find that I don't quite fully believe in it, because I think discipline with writing does help overcome it. And she's probably fully overcome it. You know, she's written so many books. But I find I encounter it if I kind of get 3 or 4 ways to open a chapter coming through all at the same time, and it kind of jams my mind, and I can't pick which way to go. Mm. And so I nearly always walk, go outside and move my body, and that tends to release it. But I used to suffer what I thought was writer's block much more than I do now. And I think it was just, you know, fear of the pen, you know, insecurity, all those things, the idea of people reading what you have to say, you know, I had those when I was much younger, and I think that's pretty normal, but practice helps.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're good company. I think many a famous writer has used walking and exercise for kind of breaking through, you know, it's part of that incubation phase.
Yeah, the problem is then you get this idea when you're halfway up a mountain in Colorado and you haven't got a pen, right? You seem like running down the mountain, not very elegantly, trying to get back to my computer before the sentence leaves, and inevitably it kind of disappears just as I get through the threshold. But yeah. That's happened to me a lot.
That's funny. Well, you should always carry a notebook.
That's true.
I think you taught us that also. That was one of the things somebody mentioned in your book. But then what about the smartphone? Isn't the voice to text thing now something all pervasive on the smartphone?
I've never got into it. I'm only just getting used to Siri and that, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm more old fashioned with my notes. I tend to everywhere I go, I have I try to have a notebook with me, and then the days that I forget is where the inspiration comes. But I'm a pen and paper girl more than a smartphone for kind of taking notes down, I think.
Yeah, interesting. Thanks so much for joining me for this half of a tour through the writer's process. If you enjoy the Writer Files podcast, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review on iTunes to help other writers find us. For more episodes or to just leave a comment or a question, you can drop by writerfiles.fm. And you can always chat with me on Twitter @KeltonReed. Cheers. Talk to you next week.